Hey everybody, Colt here. Thanks for stopping by and checking out our podcast. If you like what you hear and you want to hear more, be sure to check out our website, draftdive.com, or follow us on Twitter, @draftdive and @_ColtWilliams. Now, enjoy the episode.
Welcome back, everybody. It is another edition of the Draft Dive Fantasy Football Show. We're going to be going over waiver wire pickups this week after an exciting and somewhat surprising week of football, I would say. So, yeah, I'm Jonah, joined as always by my co-host Colt. Colt, how you doing out there?
I'm doing well. Exciting week of football. You know, we had some weird fluky type things, I feel like, happen. Not fluky, but just weird things happen with the like Ravens, Lions, the Browns, and Colts just going, you know, completely berserk. And then on Monday Night Football, your Vikings, they did it. They beat the 49ers. They're in primetime. There goes Kirk. Yeah. I mean,
primetime Kirk.
370-2 is about all you can ask for, and he delivered.
Yeah, no, it was a great game to watch. Very happy with the result.
Yeah, and just, I mean, we were talking about it before the podcast started, but it just opens up the door for Justin Jefferson to come back. I mean, we were talking about the schedule for the Vikings. It was, you know, played the Chiefs and, you know, Chargers and I think the Eagles and some other hard teams. So, you know, you see that record of 3-4. It's like they've played a lot of the hardest teams so far. And now they get, you know, these next six games are not any cakewalks. I mean, it's the NFL, but some matchups that you could certainly exploit to boost that record up for sure and make Justin Jefferson want to come back sooner. You know, obviously given health and everything like that, they won't just shut him down for the year like we saw with the Rams and Cooper Kupp last year.
Yeah, no, it looks like a good path back for Jefferson, which is good for the Vikings and really good for the NFL.
Yeah. So we're really excited for that. I've got a quick question for you. It's kind of spontaneous and in the moment, but with the trade deadline happening here next week, happening on Halloween on Spooky Day, who is your biggest player you're excited to maybe move teams, maybe go to a new team here before the trade deadline? Who do you think is going to be moving, or maybe just an ideal person you'd like to see move?
You know, I think it would be the most exciting, but I don't want it to happen. Danielle Hunter, who now I believe has 9 sacks on the year. He's been kind of rumored because he's in a contract year. I don't think, you know, they're not going to be able to re-sign Kirk. So hopefully they've got enough room for him and Jefferson, Hunter and Jefferson. But I think Hunter would be the biggest potential name that could be looked at.
So like a re-signing?
Well, I think they might look to... There have been rumors about him possibly being on the move. I mean, I would think it would be for a first-round pick, so it would be a pretty big deal if you know, teams always need pass rushers. So as a Vikings fan, I hope he stays, but I think he would be the biggest name I've heard floating around.
Yeah, I've heard quite a few. You know, obviously Kirk Cousins is always in the mix just because I don't know why. He's not moving. But, yeah, we see that name often. Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, the Bronco twins, like they're always in the mover category. There's one guy that I really think fits the mold to just kind of be traded. I feel like it fits perfectly. And that's Derrick Henry to the Baltimore Ravens. Like, been kind of manifesting it.
About Henry. Yeah, no, there's definite rumors. They tried to ship him last year.
Yeah, and they just got rid of Kevin Beinard, right? They're probably their best player on the entire team. And then, yeah, I mean, well, certainly best defensive player. But, I mean, the Ravens, they pass the ball at a 48% rate, which is 31st in the NFL, unless you want to look at it the other way. And so, I mean, those Todd Monken, you know, offensive coordinator coming in, going to be a pass first team, kind of open it up. That's not really come to fruition. J.K. Dobbins out for the season. You know, Gus Edwards and Justice Hill are trying to fill in that hole. But, I mean, with a 5-2 record and, you know, they're trying to make the playoff push, I think it's perfect for Derrick Henry, who just ate up on the Ravens, matter of fact. So they just got to see the best part of him. I might as well add him to the team, I feel like.
Yeah, it's always crazy trading within the division.
Mm-hmm.
But it's possible. I mean, like I said, they've been looking to move him. This is the second year that they're looking to get something for him. So they might consider a first rounder from a division rival.
Yeah, I mean that's what I'm manifesting. I'm hoping that happens. You know, see him on the move. I saw pictures just as you were talking about last year. Photoshop pictures with him and Lamar and everything like that. They're like, let's make this happen. I think it was, I don't remember who the other person was, but I think it was D-Hop is who the other person they had, which is funny now that Henry and D-Hop play together. But nevertheless, yeah. That's who I'm really excited for. What I'm not really excited for is injuries. Those happen every single week. We got to keep you guys updated on them. I've got some injuries here. We haven't had any practices yet. We're recording this Monday night, so we'll give you what we got. But let's get into the injury news, shall we?
Yes.
So let's start off with Dawson Knox. It looks like he's going to be having wrist surgery. It's, you know, an undisclosed amount of time right now that he's going to miss. I would expect it would make sense for at least a month for him to be out. But that's a huge uptick of work. We'll be talking about Dalton Kincaid later. Just some more information on him. But that's going to be a huge boost to his stock. Jalen Hurts, he says his knee is nothing that would keep him out of the game. So if you watched him kind of hobbling along and holding that knee just a little bit there in Sunday Night Football versus the Dolphins, it looks like everything's going to be good. We saw this last week with Justin Fields. He was considered doubtful the time we recorded on Monday night. Considered doubtful yet again here in Week 8 for the thumbs. So we might see some more Tyson Bagent, who was pretty exciting to watch, to be honest.
Yeah.
And Zach Charbonnet, his hamstring, he says he has a chance to get back this week. You know, it could hamper a little bit of the Kenneth Walker, you know, breakout season. But, you know, Charbonnet's kind of flash in that sense. But just something worth noting if you're looking to get a running back back. Here's the confusing one. We don't have any more information on it. But Deshaun Watson, undergoing shoulder evaluation. He didn't get concussed. He got kind of checked out for that in the game there versus the Colts. But Deshaun Watson this year is just, it's been hard to play him. I mean, I took him in a super flex league where you're starting two quarterbacks, and it's been turmoil. I mean, this week he got me negative 1 point. I started Brian Hoyer on the other side because, you know, it was so many bye weeks, and I'm just dealing with that. And he got me 1 point. So I would have been off better starting zero quarterbacks and zero in the flex. But, yeah, Deshaun Watson has been... yeah, that's something to monitor there. His teammate, Jerome Ford, Browns running back, injures his ankle in week 7. It's a low-grade high ankle sprain. He's expected to miss a week or two. That's going to be a big uptick for Kareem Hunt, who we'll be talking about here in just a moment. Tell me what you got here on this. Bijan Robinson, I mean, he didn't have a single carry until he played some snaps, but it was barely any. But he didn't have a single carry until the fourth quarter. They were saying it was an illness about halftime. They kind of finally told us something about it. They got one carry, 3 yards in the fourth quarter of the game. What do you make of that?
Yeah, definitely something I didn't see coming. I don't think anyone did. But, yeah, I mean, illness is what we're hearing. So, and he was active. You know, he wasn't a scratch. So I would guess, you know, his status is probably solid going forward, but can't really say for sure with their reporting of his stomach or head issues.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fact that he had them the night before, because he talks about it at his press conference, which means, and they get asked, you know, hey, how's everybody feeling? And each individual player gets asked this, and they just, for some reason, it never got reported. So that's, I think there's going to be fines coming to the Falcons in this instance, because it was just absolutely no report of the player Bijan Robinson having any issues. So more to that, it's probably just a one-game type of illness thing, but nevertheless, pretty sad to see a one-carry game for Bijan Robinson. Saquon Barkley said after the game he hyperextended his elbow, but he'll be okay, which is kind of good news there. If you got to see the play, he was going out of bounds, try to catch himself, which oftentimes you see the players do, and just his elbow went in just a little bit. He walked off the field with a limping arm and then came back to, I think it was just a few plays later. So he was pretty okay. He finished out the game. But something to monitor. Chargers tight end, Gerald Everett, he had a quad injury. He didn't return the game versus the Chiefs. So that's something to, you know, if you're in the tight end depths with us, then, you know, he was having a good game too. I think he ended up with a touchdown and pretty nice outing. But, yeah, it wasn't didn't go back out there. And last but not least, Christian Watson. He injured his knee on the final drive of the game. And in his report, he said, "Everything looks good on the scans and whatnot. Obviously, I'm just trying to get the initial pain and stuff out of there before I'll know if I'll be good to go." So, yeah, I mean, Christian Watson has been, not going to say a bust on the season, but he's missed a lot of time, and so it's been scary. And this just throws another wrinkle to that.
Yeah, it's tough to be productive when you're not playing, unfortunately. Very talented player, but yeah, he's got to be on the field.
Yep, yep. That is one of the biggest talents, availability. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's it. I mean, there's no teams on bye. We did get a little bit of news here, Jonah, before the podcast started. We saw that Chris Olave was arrested after Monday Night Football. Not playing Monday Night Football, but arrested after Monday Night Football for reckless operation of a motor vehicle. We don't have too much more information about that in my just like quick little research of these instances. There's not usually a suspension, but it doesn't mean that the team won't, sit him to kind of discipline him. It's kind of rare. Usually the off-field and the, you know, on-field sometimes separate, but sometimes they kind of blend in together. Like I said, I would be a little surprised if there was any kind of suspension, anything like that, but it's something to monitor. You know, you might see an uptick in some of the other players around him if he were to obviously miss a game. But that's it for the injuries. Yeah. That's it for the news. There's no teams on bye, which is exciting, which is weird because there was just six teams on bye. Now there's no teams on bye. Mm-hmm. And week 13, I think there's another six teams on bye again. So why they do this, I have no idea. They've got to have some kind of good reasoning.
It's all the AI schedule making, apparently, according to their commercials.
It's crazy. Yeah, I watched that video where the guy used to make the schedule by hand, and I would not want to be that person. I'm so happy that they have this set up. But nevertheless, we are talking waivers, I promise. Let's go ahead. We're going to get into a QB stream of the week. I've got a guy here. We mentioned him before we started to air, but It you might want to get your depends ready, but I'm talking about Indianapolis Colts quarterback Gardner Minshew. He's owned in 13% of leagues, but here's the thing about him. He just had back-to-back 300-yard games, and one of the 300-yard games was against the Browns just this last week, which, yes, a big, long, broken play touchdown reception did go to Josh Downs, rookie wide receiver for them, and then a last-minute fourth-quarter 75-yard breakaway pass happened to kind of boost that up to Michael Pittman. Those will help a ton. What will also help a ton is two rushing touchdowns, but that was against the Browns. So, you know, while these things were a little fluky, it was against the Browns, so which is really exciting to see. And now they get the Saints, who are about the middle of the pack versus the quarterback fantasy-wise. Gardner Minshew is somebody I'm not in a one quarterback league, I'm trying to avoid it, especially with no teams on bye. There's got to be better options out there. But if somebody's hoarding quarterbacks, or you're in a two quarterback league, I'm certainly okay with throwing out Gardner Minshew into your lineups.
Yeah, I've always been a big Gardner Minshew fan and supporter. Had him ranked, two rounds higher than he got drafted when he was coming out of college. I really liked him. I feel he's always a player who's gotten kind of a raw deal, and he seems to play pretty well. I mean, it's hard to think that there's really 31 quarterbacks better than him, so I'm not sure. But Yeah, I'm a Minshew believer.
Yeah, I mean, even in his rookie season, 14 games, he had 3,200 yards, 21 touchdowns, and six picks. I mean, he added another 350 yards on the ground. Like, that's about all you can ask for. And that was on his rookie year. So, yeah, I mean, Gardner Minshew is a guy who he was. I remember in his rookie year, it was Minshew Mania, right? Where everybody was just so excited with him, with a big mustache, and just looked like he was about 45 years old as a rookie. So, yeah, I remember all that stuff that was kind of going on. That's kind of the only QB stream of the week that I've got. Do you got a guy?
It's actually the guy on the other side of that matchup because the Colts have given up the eighth most fantasy points to quarterbacks, and Derek Carr coming off back-to-back huge weeks is playing a defense that's not so great against quarterbacks, and he is available in plenty of leagues. I mean, I'm not sure we use different numbers, but mine has him available in about 80% of leagues, and I think he puts together a decent game against him.
Yeah, I mean, does it scare you at all if let's say we get a report where Olave's out? Because I mean, Olave, I think it was just, he just got what, 15 targets or something.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that it's scares you a bit, but it wouldn't scare me too much that, the matchup's good. As you said, I think it's just speeding, so I don't think Olave is gonna really face too many consequences, if any. Maybe a fine, because fines don't really matter.
True, true. Yeah, that is very true. Yeah, Derek Carr is somebody who, I mean, past 2 weeks, 50 pass attempts, 55 pass attempts, both 300-yard games. So, I mean, that's exactly what you want to see. And he's been getting sacked less. I mean, early in the season, we saw him getting kind of sacked left and right, and just these last 2 weeks, two sacks, one sack, which is, something Sam Howell wishes he could say. But yeah, I mean, there are, he is certainly somebody you can stream, and I like the matchup there with the Colts for sure. Running back waivers. Let's go ahead. Let's take a look. Here's some players that are likely rostered, but you really need to check your waivers anyways. Deonta Foreman. I mean, wow. He's owned in 63% of leagues, but 16 for 89 and two touchdowns, plus he added three for 31 and another touchdown through the air. I was really hoping he would get that fourth touchdown, just kind of matched his name, right? And but I mean, beggars can't be choosers. I'll take three touchdowns out of a running back who basically did nothing last year and was a healthy scratch earlier on in the season. I'm perfectly fine with that. Another guy, highly rostered, Kareem Hunt. Jerome Ford, like I said, is out, probably for a week or two. He seems like he's the next man up. So Kareem Hunt would get a good bit of work. We've got another name on the Browns we'll mention here in a moment. But Gus Edwards, he's owned about 57% of leagues. He had a pretty good outing, I would say, against the best run defense in the league. I took the under on that, and it kind of came back to bite me, which was surprising because, like I said, it's the worst run defense or the best run defense in the league. And then he also had an 80-yard reception, which is going to help boost those numbers, which is kind of funny when you see an 80-yard reception and not a touchdown. But nevertheless, yeah, those three running backs are likely rostered, but double check and see if they're out there anyways because they're probably at the top of our list as far as people to add. Darrell Henderson. This is a guy, I mean, we were talking up Zach Evans. We were pretty excited for him, rookie running back for the Rams. And then slowly as the week went on, it became, oh, we're adding Royce Freeman. Oh, we're signing Darrell Henderson. All these names, I think they added Myles Gaskin too. And it's just, it wasn't Zach Evans. He didn't get a single carry in this game. It was Darrell Henderson. I mean, he looked like he didn't miss a step with the Rams. He fell right back into his old role. What do you make of that situation there?
Yeah, apparently he's back. I mean, not something that we really saw coming, but I guess, probably a familiarity with the offense is of course going to help him get back in kind of quicker rather than slower. But yes, a surprise, an interesting surprise.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we didn't get really a clear answer on it until about Saturday night, I think, where it was like, "Hey, Daryl Henderson's gonna be the getting the starter spot." And it's like, "Okay, cool." You know, if there was anybody to get it, I guess it's him. And that just goes to show. I mean, we were talking about it on a previous pod where you don't have to be on the team to, you know, you can't say that, "Oh, well, Zach Evans was here first, so he's likely gonna get the first shot." Nope, the better player is gonna go out there and. If he's familiar with it and everything like that, I mean, it was kind of cookie cutter where he already knows everything and he went right into there and had a great day. Who also had a great day was his running mate, Royce Freeman. Both these guys owned in 36 and 26% of leagues. So Zach Evans was the clear pickup early in the week when everybody spent their fab, but these guys were people you could add later on. It was only Henderson and Freeman that had any carries in week 7. Zach Evans didn't have a single carry and Freeman carried the ball 12 times for 66 yards. It was just Henderson was about the same. I think he had 18 carries, but he fell into the end zone. I mean, he's somebody, if, you know, Daryl Henderson is getting added, I would like Daryl Henderson better, but if I don't have any fab or maybe I'm not higher on the priority, I'll certainly take Royce Freeman as like a consolation prize, if you will. You know, who's going to be cheaper in waiver claims than Daryl Henderson.
Yeah, no. Hey, great. We talked about him, good Oregon guy. Glad to see him back running the ball and running the ball successfully.
Yeah, exactly. And here's another guy who was running the ball. We had him as one of our top ads, I think 2 weeks ago, Amari DeMercado. This is Cardinals running back. He's owned to 20% of leagues. I'm sure it was certainly more than that a week ago, after his 2-carry game, but he came out of nowhere and commanded 80% of the snaps, and he handled every single running back rush except for one. It was Damian Williams had another one. What he did with those, it was 13 carries for 58 yards, 4 receptions for 13 through the air, so 4 for 17 through the air, but it wasn't anything that would really knock your socks off, but on a week where there were six teams on bye and a ton of running back injuries, I would imagine nobody started him. They probably started Ingram, who did absolutely nothing. So yeah, I mean Amari DeMercado may be a name to go back and add, which personally, he would be the one that I add, but the Rams backfield and the Cardinals backfield remind me of the same because one's waiting on Kyron Williams to come back, the other one's waiting on James Conner to come back, while the Rams are the better offense. It's just these guys, it's a three-headed monster. It seems like a two-headed monster there for the Rams, but in the Cardinals, it's just a crapshoot, it almost seems like. I don't have any confidence in throwing him out there, but it's somebody I want to stash.
Yeah, no, you can say it. I think basically every week you can never have too many running backs on your team. I mean, there were some, I know there were some desperate starts this week across leagues as, six teams were on bye week.
Yeah. I mean, I had to start him in it was a dynasty league, so even kind of deeper rosters. So I had to throw him in. It was him or Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I kind of glad I threw him in. It got me a little bit more than zero. So yeah, it was kind of okay. Give me what your views are on Pierre Strong. Do you think he's a decent add here? Is he kind of like the Royce Freeman to the Daryl Henderson, or what are you thinking about Pierre Strong?
He's I wouldn't spend a ton of my budget on him, but he's definitely not a bad name to watch. But he does seem to be the number two guy.
I would expect, would you be fair to say it would be like a 60-40 split kind of thing with him and Kareem Hunt?
Yeah, that'd probably be about right.
Yeah, we saw Strong get a good amount of carries here past week alongside Ford and Kareem Hunt. So yes, a name, you know, we put a little $0 bid, see if you get him kind of thing, and throw him on the end of your bench. It's not somebody you're starting, but maybe he gets a little bit more run than we actually know. He's also very fast. I think he ran like a 4.3 40 too. Combine. I remember that because he was expatriate, so gotta
There
know
you
about
go.
him. Joshua Kelly, he's owned in 23% of leagues. He had a breakaway 50-yard touchdown, so that's worth mentioning. But yeah, I mean, Austin Eckler hasn't looked great these last 2 weeks, and he's dealing with some kind of ankle injury. He's not questionable or even on the official injury report just yet, but throughout the week, I would imagine he's on there. I mean, they play the Bears, so that's a great matchup for the running back, so it's a name worth monitoring. But Joshua Kelly, it's finally, you know, when Eckler was out, we started him, and he did nothing for us. Actually, you know, gave us stinkers on our starting roster. We finally bench him or throw him to waivers. And then here he is having a great day. It's like, oh, go figure.
Yeah, they always do it on the bench. I mean, I think that's the rule of fantasy football. People will always have huge games if you bench them.
Yeah, it's like clockwork. It really is. If we were talking about Derrick Henry possibly being traded, Tajay Spears is owned in about 50% of leagues. He's somebody I would be stashing. He's already showed flashes. So certainly somebody I would like to, if Henry does get traded, then he would get a huge uptick in work. And yeah, just somebody I'd like to hold on to, with the Titans possibly selling everybody for any pieces that they can get.
Yeah, like we talked about, they seem to be in sell mode if they're selling their defense. So, Tajay Spears, a very smart stash.
Yeah, and that wraps it up for a lot of the running backs here. Who do you have anybody else on your watch list?
I did have a couple of guys, yeah, I wanted to mention. One, you know, this is in kind of the probably around the 60% owned, but just double check for Chuba Hubbard as well.
Oh, yeah.
He continues to run well in Carolina. You know, like I said, my stats have him below 60% here, so there's about a 50-50 chance he's still available in your league, which he keeps getting carries. And you know who else keeps getting carries is Devin Singletary. So he put up 58 against the Saints. And Damian Pierce is not playing well. So Devin Singletary continues to get into at least a 50-50 split and seems to be doing more with the carries as well.
Yeah, certainly some names to add. I like the Chuba Hubbard one probably the most, which makes sense, right? He's rostered in about 60% of leagues, but
yeah.
he just showed that he, you know, when he was your start of the week, 19 for 88 and a touchdown. I mean, that's exactly what we want. You know, that was against Miami. He goes into the bye. Now he gets Houston, which is a nice matchup. Even if Miles Sanders is active, I mean, he was dealing with a groin injury and now it's a shoulder injury. So, yeah. I mean, he might be healed up because it's been a week, but Chuba Hubbard can probably still have standalone value anyways, I think.
Yeah, I would think so as well.
All right, let's see these wide receivers. I don't have too terribly many, but, you know, there's just a few guys want to mention here. Let's start at the top with some people who are likely rostered, but you certainly got to check your roster, you know, your waivers, and see if they are available. Rashee Rice, we've been pounding the drum for him over and over and over again. Check and see if he's available there. Chiefs wide receiver, rookie wide receiver, kind of lighting it up now. Owned in about 66% of leagues, so double check. Joshua Palmer, we're speaking about the Chiefs. He always has a good game against the Chiefs, and sure enough, he does it here again, 5 for 133. He is the clear number two for Justin Herbert in this offense. I mean, Quentin Johnston just had his best day as a rookie, highest yardage total of his career. He had 20 yards.
Oof.
I was talking to my buddy. I said, would you, in a dynasty league, would you trade Rashee Rice for Quentin Johnston? Which player do you prefer? And I'm asking you that same question. I'm just curious who you think in a dynasty league has a bit more value.
You know, that is tough. I mean, right now it sure looks like it's Rashee Rice.
Yeah, it's got to be, right? I mean, and it's not, and like he doesn't,
it's
have...
Not like he doesn't have Mahomes throwing to him.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It's like one has Mahomes, one has Herbert. So, you know, you're gonna side with the Mahomes side, but Herbert is no pushover. And then you just look at his production. Like, he's actually had production here. You know, the Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, MVS, all these guys aren't it. I mean, it's not very exciting. I think MVS actually had like 80 yards and a touchdown this week. But finally, I mean, he's been on the field, but just not really getting too terribly much. But yeah, Rice is... You can't say he didn't get the draft capital either. I think he was a early day two pick. I think he was a round two pick, while Quentin Johnston was a first rounder. You know, we have to see what's actually happening on the field, right?
Yeah. Yep.
JSN, Jackson Smith Njigba, like he, I mean, DK's absence, he finally got onto the field and was doing a little bit more, 4 for 63. If, you know, we just want to see him work into the offense just a little bit more. Cortland Sutton, surprisingly, only owned in about 75% of leagues. He gets yet another touchdown, 6 for 76 and a touchdown. I mean, he's somebody who might be traded at the trade deadline, and he might go for a prettier penny than you would expect just because he's been putting up some kind of numbers. So, yeah, I mean, that could be somebody we see here move at the trade deadline. Josh Downs, he's owned in about half of leagues, 5 for 125 and a touchdown here this weekend. He just looks like the real deal. He's he's a smaller guy. We're seeing the NFL kind of change to that, and yeah, he's just getting it done. So really fun to watch. Those are some guys that are kind of likely rostered, but you need to check. Who are some guys that you have on your wide receiver list that people could pick up here this week, Jonah?
You know, it was a shorter list this week, but I think Kendrick Bourne is available, what, in about 60% of leagues. And while the Patriots and their offense aren't the greatest thing, you know, he is their number one receiver, and someone's got to catch the ball. So, Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah, he's a wide receiver 24 on the season. He has 16 receptions over the last 2 weeks, which is fifth over that span. Patriots are passing the ball at the sixth highest rate. But yeah, you think Patriots, you're like, oh, I don't want any part of that. And then you realize they have to pass the ball still to win games. So yeah, Kendrick Bourne's a good ad.
This Elijah Moore has been fitting in with the Browns a little better while their quarterback situation is kind of questionable. I mean, I would say no matter who's starting, it's kind of questionable. Elijah Moore is someone to keep your eyes on. I really liked him when he was coming out of college, so I think he's got a lot more football left in him.
Yeah, I like him more as like a dynasty pickup. I'm not sure I can throw him into my lineups just yet, but we just need Watson out there, right? Or just somebody with who's going to be passing the ball at a consistent rate. I mean, it's got to be so tough on these wide receivers where it's just, hey, we game plan this way. Okay, the person who the game plan revolves around, you know, we've got that guy passing different ways, and now they have different tendencies. Like, it has to be so tough for these guys because in and out, Watson, P.J. Walker, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. So it's just a revolving door at quarterback is never a good look. But he did, I think he probably had his best game of the season. I don't know, the one against Tennessee, good, but yeah, he had a really good game here this week. He looked like he had juice, but yeah, not a lot of names here for wide receivers. Do you have any more?
One more, just depending on the Christian Watson injury, how that's looking. Jaden Reed, he's had a couple of decent games, three decent fantasy games, so he might be a guy to look at if Watson's going to miss this week.
Yeah, we were talking about the Amari DiMercato or CEH, plugging those into a lineup in a dynasty league with six buys. So I went DiMercato, and then I also had to start Jaden Reed in a league, which I was just happy to see that he had got a touchdown. I was like, that's all I'm asking for. I wanted more than 0 points because I really didn't have any options there in that league. So yeah, Jaden Reed's a guy to take a look at for sure, especially with Christian Watson news.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's it for wide receivers. Not a ton there. Here's where I think it gets a little more juicy. The tight end waivers, which normally I hate this part of the segment, but I mean, Dalton Kincaid, rookie tight end for the Bills. He is owned in about 41% of leagues, but he finally had his breakout game, which is what we've been waiting for out of this first round. Rookie tight end. He had 8 targets, caught them all. For 75 yards, and Dawson Knox is now having wrist surgery. I mean, Dalton Kincaid, you know, slot right in as a full-time player, and I think he might be somebody, if everything, the stars kind of align, and he actually becomes that full-time player, and Josh Allen depends on him like he has Dawson Knox here in the past. I mean, you might be lucky to get a starting quarterback that you don't, you can just set it and forget it. He's my top priority out of all the players we've talked about so far, except for the running backs. Running backs are hard to come by, but he would be my top priority over the wide receivers and other tight ends, defense streams, and quarterback streams. Like, he's at the top of it for me.
Yeah, no, this is an exciting week for Dalton Kincaid, especially in fantasy. He's the most exciting ad, the most interesting ad, because tight end, you mentioned it, it's a pain of a position where, you know, even if you've got great guys, you know, even the great guys have bad weeks. So, you know, if you don't have one of the top, whatever, four or five tight ends, you're just kind of playing around a lot. And Dalton Kincaid could be a real stud going forward here.
Yeah, hoping so. Here's a guy who's been a bit of a stud, I would say. He's under tight end waivers, but we should just put him under, like, football player waivers. Mm-hmm. I'm talking Taysom Hill. He's only owned in 13% of leagues, but over the last 2 weeks, he has 11 receptions, which is the fourth most by tight ends over the last 2 weeks. I mean, that's among some pretty high names. For further context, I mean, his teammate Michael Thomas has 8 receptions over the last 2 weeks, and Chris Olave has 14. So he's right up there with him, more than Michael Thomas, which is a little shocking. He's a football player who's playing tight end. He's getting receptions right now. This is a string of events we haven't really seen in his career. And he adds, I mean, weekly rushing upside, which he just rushed for a touchdown here week 7 as well. He ran the ball 5 times for 18 yards. And then sometimes he's going to pass the ball. So that's just the allure of the tight end position. You could do worse than Taysom Hill, for sure.
So, yeah, if Taysom Hill had shown just, like, any kind of consistency, I think he'd be an elite tight end. So because of all his other added upside, like you said, rushing. So if he actually becomes, you know, a 5-6 catch a game guy, you're talking about another possible elite tight end with Dalton Kincaid as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's somebody I'm. What happens is you plug him right into your lineup, and that's when he drops, you know, no receptions, no pass attempts, 2 for 8 on the ground. That's what's going to happen. I mean, it's a gamble. It's a gamble, but not every tight end has that upside. You know, while he can go for 0 points, so can every other tight end, right? I mean, he has the ability to go in there for a trick play and, you know, throw a pass or rush the ball for a touchdown because they used him in those packages. It's just part of his game where his range of outcomes, the variance, is like 0 to 20 points, while a Dalton, you know, Dalton Schultz or, you know, some of these other guys, you know, it's 0 to 9, right? So I'll roll with Taysom Hill and
yeah, no, it's, yeah, if he gets any kind of consistent, he's a special player. So yeah, really an exciting week for tight ends.
Yeah, absolutely. And we were talking about this guy on the last podcast, but Dalton Schultz, he's owned in quite a few leagues. I have him 61% of leagues, but he was on bye, so he might have been dropped. But before the bye, I mean, he had 3 consecutive games of a touchdown and 40 yards. So, yeah, while I wouldn't expect that to kind of keep up for the rest of the season, it's certainly encouraging, you know, given the circumstances. And, yeah, I mean, Dalton Schultz is a guy you can getting involved a little bit more into the offense, getting a little more acclimated. Yeah, somebody I'm pretty excited for. You were talking about these players, these tight ends, you know, having up and down weeks. Logan Thomas is a great example of that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's the perfect example. You just stick with a tight end sometimes and just leave him, set it and forget it kind of thing. Because, I mean, last week he had 1 catch for 2 yards, and then this week he has 4 catches for 51 yards. Not that that's great, but it's pretty good in a PPR league for a tight end. I mean, when you move from these guys, like, you probably moved on from them after the 1 catch game to somebody else, and then here he is having an okay game, and you move to somebody else who has a, you know, another, you know, 1 catch game, right? You just sometimes you got to roll with them, keep them out there.
Yeah, it's a very volatile position. I mean, outside of maybe Travis Kelce. But maybe one player is who we're talking about. So that's the type of position it is.
Yeah, that's it. You got any other tight ends here for us, Jonah? That's the, I mean, Dalton Kincaid, Taysom Hill, they're probably the cream of the crop as far as those go.
I mean, they're definitely the big ones. Even though he didn't have a good game this past week, and I wouldn't expect him to have a good game this week, so kind of more of a stash is Michael Mayer. We talked about last week, big tight end out of Notre Dame. Both of us really liked him coming out of college. He's staying involved with the offense, but you know, Brian Hoyer's not his guy, I guess. But once Jimmy Garoppolo comes back in a, you know, whatever, 2 weeks or so, you could see an uptick in Michael Mayer.
Yeah, Jimmy G's expected to play in week eight. So hopefully he can come back and just kind of, get him get some more for him. It's weird because when Mayer had his good game, it was when he had like all three quarterbacks kind of rotating in. So yeah, it's well, rather Jimmy G and Brian Hoyer. But yeah, it was kind of weird to kind of see it, but yeah, certainly an uptick in snaps, uptick total usage. I do like him as a stash. His upside is certainly there. Just a big body, does everything right type of tight end. Product of Notre Dame, right, as we say. So yeah, I mean, exactly what you kind of want to see tight end position. On to our defense streams of the week. I've got one here. They're probably rostered, but you need to just double check because they could have been dropped. Because they play the Eagles and then they went to a bye week. I'm talking about the Jets. They get the Giants, who are averaging a league low 12 points per game on offense. So obviously that's a great matchup there for the Jets. And then they get the Chargers, which isn't ideal but isn't scary. And then they get the Raiders, which is another great matchup. 2 out of 3 weeks, you can certainly plug and play them as probably a top five defense there on the week. I've also got the Dolphins at the Patriots. We're talking about lackluster offenses we want to kind of pick on. Patriots are right there as far as lackluster goes, and then I'm cool with rolling out the Miami Dolphins defense, but they also might be getting Jalen Ramsey back. He was limited in practice last week, and then Xavier Howard, he's dealing with a groin injury. He didn't play here in week 7, but he might be back for week 8 against the Patriots in a divisional matchup. I mean, those just boost the ceiling of the defense. If they don't go, I'm still cool playing the Dolphins, but if they do go, or just even one of them goes, then yeah, I'm ecstatic.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, the Dolphins have the pieces. So, you know, if those pieces are healthy, they're a scary team.
Yeah, they really are. The Sunday Night Football game was a little, I was so excited for it, and then it just seemed like the Eagles game, and the Dolphins played the Bills, yet another real team, and 40 to 44 or something like that to 20, kind of got stomped again. They play the Chiefs in 2 weeks. I'm kind of curious of how that one's gonna pan out, but I know how the Patriots one's gonna pan out. As a Patriots fan, I'm not really looking forward to it, but I'll be there.
No, it'll be interesting to see him, yeah, against another elite team. Maybe they can break that little curse, little schneid. One other defense I wanted to mention, the Detroit Lions. They've got the Raiders this week, and you know, Raiders, hey, Brian Hoyer wasn't too bad, but he's a backup quarterback for a reason. So anytime you can get a team versus a backup quarterback as your stream, it's not bad.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, anybody they throw out there, I would be cool with starting the Lions defense. I mean, we'd have nobody on bye, so you don't have to drop as low as this. But just another name I'd like to throw out there: Jaguars at the Steelers. I mean, the Jaguars been playing pretty okay football there on defense, and the Steelers are 31st in yards per game, 26th in points per game. This last weekend wasn't anything encouraging. I mean, people were bragging about Najee Harris finally having a game, and it was 14 for 53 and a touchdown. I mean,
Oof.
What are we doing? It's
yeah,
not great.
Steelers don't look too explosive. Maybe they get better with, you know, Deontay Johnson and some returning receiving, you know, options. But yeah, you know, I've never been a Kenny Pickett fan, so it's somewhat expected.
Yeah, yeah, Deontay Johnson actually looked pretty good out there. I mean, he didn't play his full allotment of snaps like he normally does, but watched him out there. He had one breakaway reception, and I was like, okay, he's actually going to get a touchdown too, finally. And sure enough, it was not, but it was still nice to see him out there. He looked pretty good, looked healthy. Exactly what you want to see coming off of injury out there for 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, no, he... Yeah, looks like he's getting worked in at a slightly reduced snap count now, but that should get normalized soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there it is. That's what it is. That's what it was. And, you know, we've got everything here. The waiver show, the injuries. We're going to be back on Thursday. We'll be recording Wednesday night, but we'll be back on Thursday. What else do you got for us, Jonas? You want to go ahead and sign us off?
Yeah, just you can reach out to us at Draft Dive on Twitter and at _ Colt Williams on Twitter. Just want to thank you guys again for listening. And yeah, we'll be back later this week. And so I'm Jonah.
And I'm Colt.
And thank you for listening.